Good afternoon. This is KTOO. I'm Yvonne Krimery. Juneau residents went to vote centers, drop boxes, and post offices today to cast their ballots for this year's municipal election. With initial results expected around 10 p.m., candidates and election officials say they're hoping for a strong voter turnout. KTOO's Katie Anastas reports.
Last year, five incumbents ran unopposed for re-election to the Juneau Assembly and School Board. This time, 14 people are running for four assembly seats, and three are running for two school board seats. Voter Sylvia Medeiros dropped off her ballot at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library. She says she hasn't seen this many candidates in a local election before.
I thought it was a sign that civic engagement was really high.
Deputy Municipal Clerk Andy Hirsch says she's glad voters have so many options.
I love that when there's a contested race, or all races are contested, because to me that's democracy in action.
Several candidates spent Tuesday morning waving signs on Egan Drive by the Juneau-Douglas Bridge. Assemblymember Alicia Hughes-Gandies is running for re-election against Joe Geldof. She says voters have had to do their research to learn about all the candidates.
My biggest hope today is that turnout is decent.
Assemblymember Christine Wall is running for re-election against David Morris. Wall says this year, many voters wanted to talk about cruise ship tourism.
People across the political spectrum wanted to talk about how to manage tourism better. And different people had different perspectives on what that should be, but that was definitely an issue that was less prominent when I ran 3 years ago, I would say.
Area-wide candidate Laura Martinson-McDonnell says many voters wanted to talk to her about property taxes and the cost of living in Juneau. But other topics were more unexpected, like upkeep of gravesites on Douglas.
So I've learned so much about things that I had no idea were on people's minds, which is there's a few really good things about election season. And one of them is that everybody gets to talk and there's a lot of discussion and community priorities start coming up to the surface in a different way.
Along with picking assembly and school board candidates, voters must decide whether to fund a new city hall through a $27 million bond. Last year's city hall bond proposal narrowly failed. At the downtown polling place, Catherine Wilkins says she supports the bond.
I am very much in favor of the new city hall, and even though I don't think it's going to pass, I wanted to be sure and register my vote in favor.
Other voters, like Kara Johnson, voted against it.
I'm pretty frustrated with the city's approach that they were shot down once and they just basically turned around and said, we're going to just put it back to the voters. I don't think that they took enough steps to diversify their funding.
Results for the ballot initiative and other races won't be official for another 2 weeks. They'll be certified on Tuesday, October 17th. With help from Anna Canny and Yvonne Krumry, I'm Katie Anastas in Juneau.
Attendees at the Southeast Conference in Sitka last month devoted the better part of an afternoon to the transportation outlook for the region. And for the first time in recent memory, it wasn't all bad news. The infusion of federal transportation dollars into the marine highway system, along with infrastructure funding, are helping regional officials see better times ahead. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Several hundred people were in Sitka for the annual meeting of the Southeast Conference, and almost every single one of them arrived by air. It's no wonder that Alaska Airlines won kudos from the group. On top of expanding passenger and cargo routes in Southeast, Regional Vice President Marilyn Romano said the airline had contributed $500,000 to local causes and had flown in equipment this summer that helped a team free two humpback whales entangled in crab pots. And it's introduced another salmon-themed aircraft, likely to become even more beloved than the old Salmon 30 Salmon, which was retired earlier this year.
What I personally believe is one of the most beautiful airplanes in any fleet of any carrier.
Hat Kwani, or Salmon People, was painted by Juneau artist Crystal Worrell, who also painted Sitka's outdoor basketball court. Most of the Southeast Conference transportation panelists were federal and state agency people, and in Southeast Alaska, ferries remain a major focus as the system has faced significant challenges over the past two decades and is working to reverse declines that have made travel on them less reliable than in the past. Milo Booth is the Director of Tribal Governmental Affairs for the U.S. Department of Transportation. He said Senator Lisa Murkowski's and Secretary Pete Buttigieg's unscheduled trip on the ferry between Juneau and Haines made the argument for marine transportation.
He spent 4.5 hours on that ferry, and I thought, this is the perfect experience in Southeast Alaska. It's raining like hell. We're socked in. We can't take a flight to Haines. Let's get on a ferry and get there. And we did. And I thought he was better for it, right? At a minimum, more aware about it.
Senator Murkowski guided $270 million in federal funding to the Alaska Marine Highway System last year. And the Department of Transportation is developing a plan to overhaul the aging fleet. Marine Director Craig Tornga said a plan was needed because there had never been one. Ships should be retired and replaced after 30 years and should be able to serve the same routes. The current system was a mix of vessels and facilities and didn't make sense.
Right now we have a lot of one-offs. So it makes it pretty difficult. This boat can't go here. This one can't go there. And we have different dock. Even the Alaska-class ferries that were just... I think they were built in 17 or 18. They can't go to a lot of the docks that we need them to go to. And so we have to make dock changes. And so that's what we want to change, is have a standardization across the fleet.
Tornga said the Marine Highway would have its first long-range plan in place by the end of next year. The other pressing issue for the system is staffing. The Marine Highway has 7 operational vessels, but only enough people at times to run 5. And some personnel were giving it their all to make that happen. He said one mariner had just completed 5 straight months aboard ship. Speaking from the audience, Dan Tuhig, vice president of the International Organization of Masters, Mates, and Pilots, suggested that the decline of the ferry system was a barrier to entry for new employees. He spent his 20s and 30s in Sitka and Southeast riding the ferries. Nowadays, the modern workforce was not having that same introduction to maritime careers.
The only way to really attack that is for the employers that own the ships, that own the ferry system, that own the experience that we have for these kids to get on the ships when they're young, figure out how cool it is, and then take the steps that they need to make it a career and go forward from where we are and find the workforce of our future.
Not all of the transportation panel was devoted to ferries. Christopher Goins is the South Coast Regional Director for the Alaska Department of Transportation. He's brought an optimistic, upbeat attitude to his position, a survival skill, perhaps, since transportation projects in Southeast are fraught with obstacles. One in particular in Sitka is especially difficult.
I was just out with some folks yesterday on Catland Bay Road, and we were looking at, well, what can we potentially open in the very near future? And so we're making an assessment of that, and we think we can open a portion of that. That job has been one of the most challenging of my career, just with the amazing terrain. But we're making progress towards that, and we know it can be built.
Goins said DOT was going to be spending $200 million on projects across the region from Yakutat to Ketchikan, including $50 million on the Chilkat River Bridge in Haines. He stressed that transportation planners would connect more with communities in the future and work from the ground up. We are trying something new, he said. We want to become a modern DOT. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A new 5-year plan for federal offshore oil and gas options includes no lease sales in Alaska waters. The announcement follows a controversial 2022 lease sale in Cook Inlet, in which only one company bid. In a statement this morning, the Department of the Interior said it's planning to hold the fewest offshore lease sales in history. The new plan follows the requirements of the Inflation Reduction Act, which aims to decrease offshore drilling and bolster the green energy transition. According to the statement, the only 3 lease sales over the next 5 years will happen in the Gulf of Mexico, which will allow the department to expand its offshore wind program. The last Cook Inlet sale in December was first canceled, then revived following the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act. Just one company bid for a piece of more than 1 million acres of federal waters. Hillcorp Alaska bid about $60,000 for 1 2,000-acre area in Lower Cook Inlet and was officially awarded the block in March. That 2022 lease sale was the only federal offshore sale in Alaska during the 2017 to 2022 program. Now that the 5-year plan has been published, there will be a 60-day waiting period before the Secretary of the Interior can officially approve it. As for the weather here in Juneau, It's 52 degrees with some clouds in the sky, but there's been some sun throughout the afternoon. The rest of this afternoon, there's a slight chance of rain, and that's what's on the forecast for tomorrow as well. You're listening to KTOO.